I guess I want to share a little bit on Psalm 112, but really I suppose I'm sharing in all the readings. The common theme here being righteousness, our standing before God. And I think if you live long on earth, it becomes harder to take in the complexity of your life and label it as righteous. Most of the people that I've known that do that very quickly maybe are ignorant of their deep failings that everyone else sees, right? Or maybe they are what we might call a saint, and they're very rare people in this world, and being in the presence is life-giving. But for the rest of us mortals, righteousness is a complicated thing. And I was feeling that this week. Every week I read the readings and I pray and prepare for sharing with you on Sunday. And Psalms like Psalm 112 are the ones that must feel awkward for us when we read them and pray them together as a community. I mean, you can hear what it says, right? Wealth and riches are in the houses, and the righteousness endures forever. So I guess if we're righteous, then we're also very wealthy, right? Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. And yet I know that each one of us has had our fair share of good, but also of evil, of suffering, of loss. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I feel fear often. I consider the future, consider my life as it is. And you do too. And so we read a Psalm like 112, it feels weird. And even when I first became a Christian throughout the years, I always felt maybe a complicated attitude or a complicated relationship with the Psalms. And I guess what I want to share with you, what was sharing with me in class in seminary, it was probably my favorite class I ever took. We just sit around a table. Would-be ordinance, and just maybe read a part of the Bible or read a book together, and we just talk for 2 hours, what was going on in our lives, what we were seeing, the material. And we were talking about the Psalms, and our professor shared, she said, and she was riffing off of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which you might know as a German theologian and who fought against the Nazi regime. And in his writings, he reflects on what are called the Psalms of Innocence. So there are these Psalms you read in the Bible that are like this in 112. They proclaim the author or the writer is declaring their righteousness, their right standing before God, and all the good that comes to them, and all the evil that will fall on the wicked. These Psalms of Innocence. And he says that it's important to know that these psalms are primarily, you could say, said by Jesus. So when I read this, it might feel complicated when I think of my life, how I feel. But then when I consider that Jesus is saying these words, then it starts making sense. Because we believe that Jesus is the only human being, the only person that's ever lived, that's done everything right. Jesus, God made man, is the only person that ever loved God perfectly and loved his neighbor perfectly. He didn't do wrong. And he was murdered. And we've talked about that. We know that story. The idea is that Jesus is the only person who could credibly, without awkwardness, say a Psalm like 112 and say, yeah, this is about me. Now, we could say, well, that's great. Good for Jesus. That's nice. But this is what I hope lands in your heart. It's landing in mine. And I'm not sure what kind of week you've had. I feel like I've had a week of weeks this past few days where I've been confronted with my, hit the edges of my limitations, what I'm able to do. I've been reminded how easily I can let down people around me, even those I really love. And how easy it is or maybe even in some sense justifiable, why I feel so inadequate to what God has called me to do. The sermon isn't about me, but I'm sharing through my context because I don't think that my experience is that much different from any of you, if not all of you. You know, maybe you've heard of imposter syndrome, the idea of a place where you're at, you constantly believe, I don't belong here. Something like that. And I've been feeling the weight of that for a while. Maybe it's because I'm getting ready for the AGM. I don't know. And I just sort of feel this in my heart. And I get this kind of a, what is it that I'm doing? And I think of reading this psalm, and I can think of like so many years that I've read that psalm, and it was the worst version of me that was reading it. And then there's Jesus who reads it, and it's perfectly read by him. And then I think how Jesus has said that we're his family now. Because if you're baptized, you're baptized into Jesus. It's not a sermon on baptism, but I want you to know that in that mystical water, when you're baptized, in a way that I can't fully explain, God is, you're identifying, but God is deeply identifying with you, Jesus. So that everything that belongs to Jesus suddenly belongs to you, the Holy Spirit, God's love, God's power. God, Jesus standing before God the Father belongs to you. And I'll tell you what that means. I remember my spiritual director, we were having a conversation, and she said to me, I think we're talking about the end. And I asked her what she believed. Really, we hadn't talked about this. And what do you think happens after we die? You know, she said, I think that we'll stand before God and our lives will be shown to us in its entirety. The things that we've hidden will be shown to us and we will be judged. So that God will clearly point out, this is what you've done. Unequivocally. And after that's done, if you're found in Jesus, Jesus will be there. And you'll say, that's all true. But this one's mine. They're my family. The judgment that's fallen on them has fallen on me on the cross. So now they're okay. So truth will be spoken about each one of us, but if you're found in Jesus, you just won't pay the price. Our standing for God will actually be the standing of Jesus. And I've been thinking about what she shared, so that's what I'm sharing with you. And she shared that with me, and I'm mulling that over. And I, for my part, I'll just tell you what I think. I think that she's probably closer to the truth than not. If you've ever been hurt, it's a silly question. I know you've been hurt. Someone's ever hurt you. I don't know who I was talking to. They say something like, why doesn't God just, he can just forgive him, and you know, why this whole drama? Just like, you're all forgiven and we're all in heaven, and that's that. And I think to myself, have you actually been hurt by someone? Do you just snap your fingers? Oh, it's fine, don't worry about it. Right? And I'm not saying, I mean, maybe you've been teased or someone made a little like off-color joke in your, but I'm not talking about that. I'm not real hurt, right? The kind that takes decades to work. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to get to the sort of detail, but I'm sure you can think about that. Do you just snap your fingers and it goes away? No. No, no matter if you've been really hurt, no matter how much time has gone between the hurt and now, you go into your memory, and you're right back there. And the pain and the suffering is right there, the loss. Now, we tend to think that we do that and feel that way because we're humans and we're limited, but God must not be like that. But I want to tell you, the picture of the Bible actually shows us that when you feel that, when someone's hurt you and you still remember it, and that's still something wrong that you can point to and say, that was my hurt, and you hurt me. When we do that, that is not a limitation of being human. That's actually right that you feel that. That's a sign of your goodness, your perfection, that you can point to something that's wrong and evil in this world and say, hey, that thing, I don't care how much time passes, that is, has been, and always will be wrong. And as far as it's touched my life, I'm hurt by it. It's not human limitation. God is showing us, oh, actually, part of me that's right, because I feel that way, because I'm a person. And I've been hurt. I gave you these laws and you broke them. And you've broken the world. What I created is now ravaged by the human race. There has to be an account That's the story of the Christian faith. And God says, who's going to pay this price? And God says, you know what? I will. I'm not going to destroy you. I love you. I'm going to come to you, Jesus, and I'm going to pay the price for this. And he has. That's the joy of it. And then when I read Psalm 112, and Jesus is saying that, but Jesus, I have to read this. Here's the point. When I read Psalm 112, and as awkward as I feel, and as silly as I feel, I have to let that, in a sense, hold it loose. I can't hold my fist on it. I have to hold it loosely. Because I also have to admit and recognize that as Jesus really should be saying this psalm, Jesus says, and you say it too. Because my righteousness, my good standing before God is now yours. I've given it to you. How you think about your life now doesn't say have the last word. So what I say about your life has the last word. And so if you're in a moment, like Seth has been this past week, when you start thinking of all the mistakes that you've made and how silly and pathetic your life can be described, was put into words of what you've, how you account for your life. And when you start making that math, I want you to know that your final, the sum, the number you come to, is not the last number. Because the final thing that you have to say is that I have died in your place. Who I am is now who you are. And you have to say it. You don't get to dodge Psalm 112. Say it. That applies to you because it applies to me. And now we're family. And my life, my love, covers you. Like a hen's wings covering her chicks. Right? Okay, that's the theology of it. I was thinking this morning, I talked to my wife about my sermons. I share them with her and she gives me the feedback. And this worked, this didn't work. I'm not sure what you're saying. And I was telling her, this is the math. But I still feel, the human of me still feels maybe sad or I know what she's saying. He's saying it. I can read it, I can understand it analytically, but I still feel this. How does this feeling leave me? And I'm in the face of the truth, what's the next step? How do I do that? Well, that's gonna be, I think, it's something person dependent. So it's kind of a non-answer, I'm sorry. What I discovered this morning, I felt really encouraged when I was seen. That's the way that God connects with me. I've noticed it. Whenever I'm writing a sermon and I just hit a wall where I can't go any further, I just, okay, what are the songs for this Sunday? I'm just going to sing through them. Well, I have to practice anyways, but is it the music itself? That God made me a musician? That's what's happening? Well, yeah, probably, but I think what's happening at the same time as the music that God's gifted me with is that whether I'm fully aware of it or not, part of me recognizes that I'm worshiping God. They're part of each one of us, whether we know it or not, that longs to be connected to God, right? That part of us that longs to be in the presence of God at all times, that we might get a hint of it during a Sunday morning or if you walk out in the sunshine and you're going on a beautiful hike. That thing that connects you to God, that's understood rightly, it's worship. It's admitting, worship is admitting that at the bottom of my problems, of everything that's going on in my heart, the solution to these problems aren't human. They come from God. And worship is recognizing that and saying, God, at the end of everything, I'm left with my feelings. I see the theology, I see the readings, I make the connections, I know what I'm going to share. My heart still feels, you know how it feels, you're here with me. I'm going to sing. Because even my feelings don't have the last word. They're my feelings. As my counselor tells me, well, they're not wrong. Your feelings are your feelings. And I just give those to God. I'm trying not to give you a self-help thing because I don't buy into that. But I'm telling you that for me, when I did that, I felt lighter. But I think that it's not always going to work. Sometimes I'll do that and I'm not going to feel lighter. that's probably where faith kicks in. Well, I still feel how I feel, still feel sad. I still miss my friends who have gone on ahead of me, my family. You know, I still have the losses in my life, these holes. Or maybe people were once were there. Or maybe pets, I don't know. Pets are family too. And, you know, you name it. I think it's possible to worship God in the hard moments, to feel his presence and peace. I want to encourage you to find out what is your thing. Because maybe for you, it isn't opening a hymn book and singing hymns. And I'm not saying it has to be. It might not be that. For some of you, maybe it's poetry. For some of you, it was going for a brisk walk and just getting it out. For some of you, maybe it's reading a good book or a hug. I don't know. I can't prescribe that to you. But I can encourage you to find out what that is. And don't think of it as, that's just my quirk. Really, I want you to think of that as what the Creator has given you as an access to honestly worship in honesty and truth. Right? So that when you do that, you can recognize, you can say in your heart, maybe you don't say it out loud, you're hugging someone, might be weird. Maybe not. But I say, God, I need you. Help me to feel your presence. Help me to feel your hope and your love. I am very capable of understanding how limited and broken I am. Can you show me? Can you help me feel how you see me? I know you died for me. Can I have a taste of that love? Because I can't do this without you. That's worship. And in that spirit, you can say Psalm 112. Not because you're self-aggrandizing, you're saying, yeah, this is about Jesus. The one who lived the life I should have lived, died the death I should have died, who died in my place, who was risen from the grave, and says, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my family. You're not alone. That's the very best news. That is the source of our joy and our darkness. And I do hope, I'm saying this to myself, I'm saying it to you, but I'm saying it to me, I hope that you can not only see that, not only understand that, not only feel that, but I pray that each one of you can experience that. That's between you and God. So what we're going to do at this point, we're going to pray. We're going to sing together. We're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to take the element, which is God's promise to us that we're not ever alone. He's with us. His power flows through us. And as we do all that, I want to encourage you as you're able to pray. You can pray through hymns. It's possible. As I pray the Eucharistic prayers, pray with me. And ask God, in a way that I haven't felt before, or maybe it's been too long, help me to feel your presence. That not my ideas, but your word alone may have the last word in my life. I encourage you to pray that. But for now, let's start by praying together. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we come before you with our whole lives in view. And we want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for the times that we can recognize that you've been with us, supporting us, being our strength. And God, I want to thank you for the moments in our lives that we don't know that you've been there. Maybe we've written them off as happy coincidences. Maybe we just thought you weren't. But now we take a moment to say you have been there. And thank you. God, I pray for my own heart, but I pray for everyone in this room and their journey of faith. You know where they're at. You know what each of us needs. Whatever is in our lives right now that's blocking your voice, that's pushing you away, I pray that you remove that. Whatever words we're saying about ourselves and our hearts and our minds that we're just holding ourselves down, I pray that your word, your life, your love may overwhelm what we might say or think about ourselves or each other. Help us to live in your light, in your love, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.